We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incarnate gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that through his birth, through his baptism, through his death and resurrection, he has opened heaven to people like us. Lord, continue through the ministry of your word to deliver assurance and hope to troubled consciences, to those plagued by their sin, to those who seem to be sinking in their shame. Lord, may they receive your loving hand to pull them from those depths, to assure them that they are indeed chosen by you, honored by you, and loved by you. And so now, Lord, may your Holy Spirit guide us and lead us into the light of your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So almost 2,000 years ago, in 6,690 miles away, your Savior in mine stepped into the waters of the Jordan River. The beginning of his earthly ministry, the beginning of God's revelation that this is the one whom all of history has been waiting for. It was on that day, in those waters, that your Savior and mine absorbed upon himself the sins of all humanity before his advent in the flesh. It was in that water that he absorbed the sin of all of those who stepped into this water before him. If you read Luke 3, you see he is the last to go in to the water. After all of those who heeded the call were baptized, Jesus steps in to be baptized. And not only does he absorb that sin, he absorbs on himself the sins of all humanity ever since. And it's this painless baptism of Jesus, where he bears the sins of the world, that he will walk toward into the fire and suffering of his own cross. Some would say a baptism by fire. And it would be from the side of his flesh tore open by a spear that blood and water would come out. And as Peter says, it will be by his wounds that you and I are healed. It will be through the cross of Jesus Christ that sins are not ignored, but sins are dealt with, and in its aftermath are washed away from you and from me in our own painless baptism. Because of this cross, you and I ought to hear the words of Isaiah the prophet in a completely new and comforting way. Isaiah speaks these words 200 years before the Babylonian exile of the southern kingdom, before it's wiped out and destroyed and people are sent into exile. But he wants to give them a word, and it's a word that you and I can embrace, we can comprehend, and we can understand because of Christ crucified. We hear these words in a new way. But now, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. We immediately have images of Noah and his family who go through the deep waters but are saved by the goodness and grace of God. We can think of Israel going through the Red Sea safely and all of Pharaoh's army drowning in it. We can think of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee believing that they were on the verge of death and dying, and Jesus comes to calm the storm. We can think of Peter walking on water and his beginning to sink and drown, only to be lifted up by the very hand of his Savior and ours. And we can think of everything that that means metaphorically. And he goes on, when you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Who doesn't think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are thrown into the furnace? The furnace is heated so high that the soldiers throwing them in there are burned, and they go in covered with clothes and cloths and turbans and everything flammable, and they come out of the flame, and the text tells us not even the smell of smoke was on them. Any of you who smoke meat, no, it's days before that smell gets off of you. They come out of the flame, out of the furnace, not even with the scent of smoke. And then Jesus says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours because you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you. Words to a nation soon to be destroyed for their waywardness. Words of comfort today for our waywardness. But you know, when you think about this life, there are so many ways and means by which you and I can so quickly feel worthless or less than. We can feel insignificant, incapable, unlovable, and unworthy of the time of day before God or anyone else. And you know, and I know, in a broken world, the contributing factors to this sense of worthlessness and failure are exponential. It could be a job loss. It could be you go on dates but never seem to find the one. You go through a messy separation or divorce. You're diagnosed with a debilitating illness, cancer, Parkinson's, Lou Gehrig's disease, and a host of other afflictions that have the same effect. Or it might simply just be you're feeling the weight of getting older and the travails that come with that. I heard John Adair this morning do the same thing I do when he squats down, as he grunted on the way up. This is what we do the older we get. Or maybe it's just the overwhelming sense that you are not the student, the citizen, the employer, the employee, the son, the daughter, the husband, the father, the man, or the woman that you hoped and you know you should be. And then that internal voice comes back to us again in moments like that, and it says and whispers to us so loudly, useless, worthless, failure. Isaiah speaks to a nation chosen by God who has been worthless. They are idolaters. They ignore the prophets. They suffer much for their sins. They rob themselves of experiencing God's promise in the presence, in the present. They stiffen their necks. They've been called prostitutes, whores, and animals in heat to describe their spiritual unfaithfulness by God Himself. The God who, despite their unfaithfulness, remained faithful to them and delivered them. They have proven their worthlessness day after day, year after year, and century after century. They've been worse than us in specific ways, and you could also say far better than us in other ways. You begin to wonder, had God not put the rainbow in the sky as a reminder, not just for us, but to Himself, you wonder, would He have started over again with them and even with us? But this is the goodness of God, is He is speaking these words to them and to us even while they're in that condition. An idolatrous, wayward, worthless, disobedient, unfaithful people get to hear these words. Listen to the Lord who created you. The one who formed you says, "Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for Jesus says, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, representing all of you, and I am your Savior. And you are honored, and you are loved on account of These are the words we need to hear. And Isaiah can only speak them in truth because of the future reality of Christ crucified for them and the past reality of Christ crucified for us. If any of you have ever read the book by C.S. Lewis, Surprised by Joy, he discusses one of the debates they had when he was in school in England, and he says this: we debated about whether or not the future was a line already drawn or a line yet to be drawn. He says, I know I fought for one of those. I can't remember which one, but I fought for one of them. And as I hear those words, I realize anytime God promises something about your future or mine, it is a line already drawn. It is a reality that just hasn't happened yet. And that's how it is with all of God's promises to you and to me. And no longer does He call us these names that He made Hosea name his children and the names that He called Israel. No, He calls us our His beloved children. Sons and daughters of the redeemed. This is why we hear different, because of the cross. Christ born, Christ crucified, Christ risen, so that we might become His possession. Listen to the words of St. Paul also today in our reading. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. Brothers and sisters, I hope this is a word that you and I in 2025 can speak into one another's lives on Christ's behalf, to remind one another how precious they are, how honored they are on account of Christ, and how loved they are by Him. And this love that you and I receive from Him transforms us, sets us free from the chains of sin, sends us in the right direction to new life and eternal life. And that's a line that has already been drawn. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we see your goodness and mercy toward us in that while we were still sinners, you died for us. While we were still sinners, you spoke words of promise, redemption, and deliverance to us. While we were still sinners, you visited us and came to us in our own baptism, that we might die with our Lord and have the promise of being resurrected with our Lord to new life here and new life in eternity. Lord, keep us in remembrance of our baptism. Keep us in remembrance of those promises still to come, a line already drawn in our future. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.